Anyway, let's go now to Jim Wilson in Cove in County Cork. That's where you are, Jim. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely, Derek. I'm here in the garden of Jim Summers, and I've got Alan Farrell, who some of your listeners may know already from the Dawn Chorus and our work with Peregrines. We're here to talk about the sand martins, and in particular, actually streaming them. Some of your listeners may remember last year, we had a camera in two of the nesting burrows of the sand martins in our artificial nesting bank at Harper's Island.
Yeah.
Well, this year, we decided to up our game. We got a grant from a group called Agora, which allowed us to improve the system and actually make it a hell of a lot easier, both for us and for people who wanted to log in and actually watch the activity, because this year we can do it 24/7.
Fantastic.
And that was brought about with incredible expertise and help from two people, one of which is here, but I caught up with the other, who was Thomas Villanda. He was out at Harper's Island at a volunteer morning helping to keep the place shipshape, and I grabbed him for a short interview to explain to us his involvement in the project.
So yeah, last year we set up some cameras in the sand martin bank, and we wanted to stream them, see people so they can see them. But there was no real streaming to YouTube in the beginning. So we were looking at possibilities how to get the camera streaming onto the internet. And we came up with something called a Raspberry Pi, which sounds very tasty, but in the end it's just a little microcomputer with very low power consumption is one of the requirements, because we were powering the equipment with solar panels. We found some free streaming software, set that up on the Raspberry Pi, and managed first to stream that onto YouTube. The problem then was that over a few days, the sun didn't shine a lot and the whole system crashed and there was no more images sent. And so we found a workaround so we could stream. There was also an app for the camera, so we could stream that live. But unfortunately, Jim had to manage his computer and look after his computer through that time, so make sure that the stream was continuing. So we were thinking redesigning the design for this year.
So the difference between last year, which was our first year, and this year, is that you don't need to use my laptop.
Yes, that's. I think Jim is very thankful for that.
He sure is. So this year, does anybody need any special app or anything now to log in and view the activity in the two boroughs?
No, it's just you need to connect to YouTube, and I'm sure the links will be somewhere on the website from Harper's Island and on this program.
Well, Thomas, you make it sound very, very easy, but I do know you had to put a lot of work into figuring out how all the moving parts would fit together.
Yeah, it was a bit of a learning curve, but well course, so really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Well, as I say, your input and your knowledge to getting this up and running has been invaluable, so thanks a million for all your help.
Yeah, pleasure.
I could do the Thomas myself to get my own Bluetooth Nest Box cam online. I'm having difficulty. The camera has been in place for a while, long before the birds moved in, but I haven't managed to make the connection yet. Anyway, back to you in Cork, Jim.
Okay, well, the other half of our technical expertise team was Jim Summers.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, we're here in his beautiful garden looking out the harbour in Cork. So, Jim, can you tell us about your involvement with the project?
Certainly, Jim. Well, first of all, I was invited by you, your good self, to help determine if there was a way or a system that we could employ in Harper's that would allow us to stream video potentially from the boroughs of the Nest Bank. The problem we faced in Harper's was the fact that there was no power available to us. It's a remote enough, I won't call it primitive location, but a remote enough location with no power available. So that pushed us into a scheme that might allow some autonomy from a power perspective there, and leading us towards a solar-based system. So we investigated this idea and felt that we could, without interfering with the natural systems and birds in Harper's, we could construct a very modest solar-based system to make power available for us, that we would be able to power both cameras and potentially also some kind of a streaming system using potentially a 4G router, which is what we did.
Yeah, and the reason I came to you, of course, you already had some experience with streaming Swifts, isn't that right?
Yeah, so again, part of a Tidy Towns project and supported by Birdwatch Ireland and the Jim and Alf here in Cove. As part of a conservation effort, we put swift boxes on the gable end of our house. My interest in that was, I suppose, piqued further by the possibility that we might be able to, with permission, put cameras inside those swift boxes, which we did here in my own home as well as in other locations around Cove.
What's the difference between this year and last year in general?
So I guess last year we were, again, maybe better to be born lucky than smart. We did have a very successful system that allowed us to stream video from two burrows in one of the nest banks. But early in the season, particularly when there was low levels of sunshine, unlike the last 4 or 5 weeks here in Cork and indeed much of Ireland, we had a lot more cloud, and therefore the solar system struggled in the early part of the season to be able to keep batteries charged and the streaming going 24/7. It prompted us then for our enhancements this year to beef up that system. So this year we installed a second solar panel, didn't need to enhance the battery storage, but that, as well as improved cameras, are a major part of the upgrade that we implemented this year.
Excellent, Jim. Well, listen, thanks again for all your expertise and help on that. I'm also here, as I mentioned already, with Alan Farrell. And Alan, you were involved in the construction of the artificial nesting banks as well, weren't you?
I was indeed, Jim, correct. Yeah. So basically what happened was part of the steering group in Harper's Island are constantly looking for other conservation projects that we could develop in the reserve. And one of those we came up with was an artificial San Martin nesting bank. We didn't have San Martins already nesting in the area, but we did have them about 3 or 4 kilometres east of there in an old sand quarry. The problem with that was the sandbanks they were nesting in there were disintegrating with weathering over the years, and we felt that maybe if we could entice them up as far as Harper's, it would be another feather in our cap as such. So what we did was we didn't have any major plans, but we just came up with an idea of creating an artificial San Martin nest bank, which essentially is, for all intents and purposes, it looks like a garden shed. But what we did was on the outside of it, we rendered it as in plasterwork with very, very rough plaster, and created a series of holes mimicking the natural nest bank that the San Martin would nest in.
That's where their nests normally are. They burrow themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. The San Martin is actually an incredible little bird. It's a fascinating bird altogether. It's a member of the Hirundine family, which has two cousins that come to Ireland, basically. One being the swallow, which everybody's familiar with, and the other being the house martin. The difference between the three, basically, is that the San Martin, as his name suggests, would burrow, as Jim correctly says, burrows into sandbanks, and that's how it creates its nest. The other two, the swallow, everybody's probably familiar with the swallow, with the long forked tail and the beautiful blue iridescent plumage in the sunlight. They nest inside in buildings, which they create their nest on a little shelf inside in the building. Whereas the house martin then would nest outside the building. It basically lands in mud patches, gathers up little globules of mud and creates its own nest stuck up under the eaves of houses. People will probably be familiar with that. But the San Martin, it was our target. And as I say, we created the San Martin bank back in 22, the early spring of 22. And lo and behold, within a few weeks, the San Martins had returned and took to it, as the man said, like a duck to water, like a San Martin to a sandbank, I should say.
Absolutely. And the tunnels that mainly ye put in, they were plastic pipes and that, weren't they?
Exactly. The tunnels, we tried to recreate as natural an environment as we could. So basically what we did was the internal structure of the bank is a wooden skeleton. But inside in that, we suspended 100mm wavin pipes as such, which we filled with sand, blanked off at the end and filled with sand. And the front was open, obviously, to the front of the box. And we created small little holes into which we would hope the San Martins would come. And as I say, lo and behold, within a few weeks, the San Martin really is the first of the migratory birds to arrive back. Typically, you'd see your first San Martin around Patrick's Day. I always keep an eye out around Patrick's Day. It's kind of a landmark for me in the year. And lo and behold, yeah, they did show up again this year, a couple of days after Patrick's Day. They arrived in numbers and took to the sandbank. We had 24 nesting burrows in the bank, and by the end of April, I'd say, all 24 nest burrows were occupied.
Yeah, and so then we got greedy and we went for more.
We got greedy, I suppose you could say, yeah. But we thought there was potential maybe for another blast of holes. And rather than trying to extend the one we had, we created a double. We created another nesting bank right alongside the original one. And again, all 24 holes in that bank were occupied again.
So we were up to 48.
We were up to 48 at that stage, yeah. And that's where the tech heads kicked in. Not being happy with what we had, they decided that we need some cameras in the box, in the one or two of the boxes initially, which was a fantastic idea, I thought, because it opened a whole new world up basically to us initially, that we could see what was going on inside in the burrows. Because as with any hole nesting bird, nobody knows what goes on inside in the boxes once the bird has entered. And as Jim Summers correctly says here, the camera system that he installed in his own swift boxes here was another game changer, another eye opener. We've learned some fascinating facts from those cameras.
Well, I mean, you could tell there, Derek, that a lot of work by a lot of people to get the Harper's Island Sand Martin project up and running. And we're really excited to be able to launch this year's live streaming, which will be open to the public 24/7 on our YouTube channels. They can log in any time. And from now on, there's a very good chance they'll start seeing them building nests and laying eggs and raising their young. A fantastic insight, as Alan rightly pointed out, into a species that is so secretive because of the fact that it nests down a tunnel. It's incredible. So that here we are with the cameras, and now we can actually peek into their lives. And that is just such a privilege. And we would hope everybody in Ireland will log in at some stage. It'll be great for schools. We'll have an information pack that they can download from the Harper's Island website, especially for teachers, so that the class wants to follow it. Now, there is one little government health warning.
Yeah.
This is nature. This is nature.
Oh, yeah.
Not everything goes to plan.
Yeah.
They have four or five young ones.
And they don't all make it.
Make sure... No, they don't. And so it is a great opportunity, actually, to educate people in, you know, the hard facts of life, that not everything goes well. But in general, they do, because we wouldn't have sand martins and all the other birds here today if they all failed in their nesting attempts the first time round.
And as always, more details will be on our website, rte.ie/Mooney.